सुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 8, Text 25. We'll do the word for word for us. Sarvatra, everywhere. Atma, for one's true self. Ishvara, and for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anviksham, meditating by keeping continuously in view. Kaivalyam, solitude. Aniketatam, having no fixed residence. Viktachira, scraps of cloth found in unfrequented places. Vasanam, wearing. Santosham, satisfaction. Yena kena seat, with anything. Okay. Sarvatratmeshvaran viksham. Kaivalyam aniketatam. Vivikta shira vasanam, santosham yena kena shit, sarvatratmeshvaram viksham, kaivalyam aniketatam, vivikta shira vasanam, Santosham yena kena shit. Sarvatratmeshvaram viksham. Kaivalyam aniketatam. Viktashira vasanam. Santosham yena kena shit. Sarvatratmeshvaram viksham, kaivalyam aniketatam, viktashirasanam, santosham yenakenasi, sarvatratmeshvaram viksham, kaivalyam aniketatam, viktashirasanam, santoshayanakinasi, sarvatratmeshvaram viksham, kaivalyam aniketatam, viktashirasanam, Santosham yena kena seet. Mataji.
Sarvatratmeshvaram viksham. Kaivalyam aniketatam.
Viktashirasanam. Santosham yena kena seet. Sarvatratmeshvaram viksham. Kaivalyam aniketatam. Viktashirasanam. Santosham yena kena seet.
Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace.
One should practice meditation by constantly seeing oneself to be an eternal, cognizant spirit soul, and seeing the Lord to be the absolute controller of everything. To increase one's meditation, one should live in a secluded place and give up false attachment to one's home and household paraphernalia. Giving up the decorations of the temporary material body, one should dress himself with scraps of cloth found in rejected places or with the bark of trees. In this way, one should learn to be satisfied in any material situation. Okay. Please repeat. One should practice meditation by constantly seeing oneself to be an eternal cognizant spirit soul, and seeing the Lord to be the absolute controller of everything. To increase one's meditation, one should live in a secluded place and give up false attachment to one's home and household paraphernalia. Giving up the decorations of the temporary material body, one should dress himself with scraps of cloth found in rejected places, or with the bark of trees. In this way, one should learn to be satisfied in any material situation. Perfect. Kaivalyan, or living in a secluded place, indicates a place free from material disturbances. Therefore, one should live in the association of Vaishnavas, where the common goal is advancement in Krishna consciousness. Especially in the Kali Yuga, if one tries to remain physically isolated from all others, the result would be degradation or insanity. Aniketatan means that one should not be intoxicated by the ephemeral satisfaction of one's home, sweet home, which will vanish at any moment by the unforeseen circumstances produced by one's previous activities. In this age, it is not actually possible to dress in tree bark in modern cities, nor to wear mere scraps of cloth. Previously, human culture accommodated those practicing tapasya or penances in the interest of spiritual advancement. In this age, however, the most urgent necessity is for preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita throughout human society. Therefore, it is recommended that Vaishnavas dress with clean and neat clothing, covering the body decently so that conditioned souls will not be frightened or repulsed by the severe penances of the Vaishnavas. In the Kali Yuga, the conditioned souls are extremely attached to material sense gratification, and extreme austerities are not appreciated, but are instead considered abominable denials of the flesh. Of course, austerity is required for spiritual advancement, but the practical example set by Srila Prabhupada in successfully spreading the Krishna consciousness movement was that all material things should be used to attract people to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Vaishnavas may at times adopt ordinary dress to serve the higher principle of distributing Krishna consciousness. In any case, one should learn to be satisfied in any material situation so as to prepare for the moment of death. According to Bhagavad Gita, the time of death, the particular consciousness we have created in this life, would carry us to our future situation. Therefore, human life can be seen as a type of practice for successfully fixing one's mind on the absolute truth during the severe trials of death. Om Gyan Sirmanasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Sakshun Tamyena Tasmai Sri Gurudevam Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stagatam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Ya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Daita Gadadar Shri Dasa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, we're still in this long conversation between the Navayogendras and Maharaj Nimi. The Navayogendras, three of them have already spoken. Anyone can remember which three have spoken? There was Kavi, Havi, and Antariksha. Prabhuda is speaking now, and then Pipa Palayana, Avihotra, Jumala, Chamasa, and Karabajan have to speak. So it's a very long, long conversation. Right now, the topic is on, how can a materialistic person be freed from the material illusion or from Maya? And so, Prabhuda is speaking to the King Nima. He already explained the futility of materialistic living. And now he's explaining one serious, how one should be able to get out of this material world. So he's already spoken about student life. The student sees, accepts a spiritual master. And so now he's furthering his explanation into the renounce order. Most of the knowledge given in the Srimad Bhagavatam is given to a Varnashram setting. This knowledge was spoken somewhat over 2 million years ago, at the time of Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku was the father of Maharaj Nimi. That was during the time of Lord Ramachandra. So it's about 2 million. Varnashram was at its peak. And so when the great souls speak, they speak for a Varnashram audience. And so they're concise and precise rules to follow within the Varnashram system. And so, Maharaj Nimi is hearing from these Yogendras attentively, and he's posing questions. So it's stated, Yaha Shatra Vidim Uchrija, he who disregards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims, attains neither perfection nor happiness, nor the supreme destination. Tasmak chashram paramamte. One should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty from scriptures. So these nine yogendras are also speaking on the basis of scriptures. And now they're speaking about vanaprastha and sannyas life here. The householder, after has gone through household life, then he, there's different signs. Usually when one reaches 50, that's the Varnashram stipulation. He leaves his home and family usually and go into the forest. He may take his wife with him if she wants to, or she doesn't have to if she has a son. She can remain home with the son and she will be protected. But he goes into the forest and practice rigid austerity. This is the Varnashram code. Of course, within this age of Kali, it's not practical and it's not possible. But first, I would go through the rules of the rigid Varnashram system so we can see what it was. And then I'll contrast it with our system today, or how things has been flexed for us to follow. So I'll go through what the mendicant has to do. So he goes into the forest, and then he would dress himself in either tree bark. Those days, the tree bark usually, it seems like they would soak it in water and soften it so that it forms like a skirt. See? Tree bark, or they make straws. You must have seen the Hawaiians. They have that straw thing around their waist, you know, and a little tied on top. Or deer skin, or tiger skin, leopard skin, or the, it's stated here specifically, discarded clothing. See? So these were the dress he can choose. And then, his focus is to meditate on the Supreme Lord there, but in an austere condition. He would grow his hair with matted locks, you know, and his beard, and his nails. He would take bath once a day. He would only eat fruits and roots. Some vegetables also. Certain vegetables can be eaten raw. Or he can cook also if he wants. Maybe he can boil some of his stuff in an earthen pot, makes a little fire. And he eats simple. He never has a concise residence or a specific residence. He just sleeps under a tree. This is the fun part. This is the fun part. During the summertime when it's hot, like 110 degrees and so, he sits in the sun, and then he makes a circle of fire. A fire in there. So there's the heat of the sun plus the fire there, and he's meditating at the center of that. See? That's one part of the austerity. Another part is during the rainy season, he sits in the rain, meditates. And then during the winter season, this is even more fun, he soaks his clothing in water and stays in the winter. I mean, you could imagine the austerity. And that was the austerity then. And one reason was because, I mean, they were completely off the bodily concept of life. That is why. In Kali Yuga, we can't even dream of something like that. Because we are so engrossed in the bodily concept, you know, that we cannot even dream of doing that. But I'm just going to show the rigid rules that they have to follow, and then I'll explain what we have to follow. So along with that, they would do their meditation. They would be very careful not to harm anything. They would not eat any meat, drink honey, or take mushrooms and garlic and so forth. By the time they are 25 years into this austerity, usually from 50 to 75, then he has become much more realized and he's ready to take the sannyas order. So he cuts his hair and his nails and his beard and so, and then he take up the tridanda, and he gets a begging bowl, a water pot, begging bowl and water pot and the danda. And he would travel different places, and he would sometimes, if he goes into the countryside, he would beg for his maintenance. Or if he's in the forest, he gathers roots and fruits. See? Like for us here, we're not so aware of so many roots and so, but in the tropical countries, there are many, many roots you can take. In fact, the cassava, you must have heard of the cassava. You could just pull the cassava, peel it and eat it like that. You don't have to like cook it or anything. And there's so many nuts and stuff like that. So that's not. And also in the tropical countries, fruits are there in abundance. Mango, cashew, pear, sapodilla, so many different fruits that you've never heard of really. And so that's easily available. So when one is in the forest, he can live on those without any problem. And then, he also, even though there is an abundance of food, he eats, because he's sannyasi now, he eats a little, not too much, and he restrains his senses. See? Then, he would not hurt any living entities. Then he would, it's stated that he should contemplate on the materialistic life of men and how, due to sinful activities, he has to go through the hellish regions. He contemplates and see how horrible is that. He tries to preach also, but mostly he's meditating on the Supreme Lord. And then at the end, he would leave his body. It's stated that he does not think about death nor life really. He just focuses on the Lord and that's it. But what is nice, I like to read how it's been explained in the Shastra, how he leaves the body. It's stated here, let him quit this dwelling. The body is compared to a house. Let him quit this dwelling composed of five elements, where bones are the beams, which are held together by cord-like tendons, where the flesh and blood are the mortar, which is touched with the skin, which is foul-smelling, filled with urine, stool, and bad odor, infested by old age and sorrow, the seat of diseases, harassed by pain, gloomy with passions, and very perishable. This is the explanation of the body, and he is quitting this body, seeing the perishable nature of this body. See? Maybe let me read. So, like a house in those days is, they usually make like a thatched hut. It has beams of wood, and then you have like branches on top. In the tropics, they usually use palm leaves or coconut branches or straws, and you make a nice roof. And then around you put like sticks, and then you get like mud and cow dung, and you mix it. And plaster it like a plaster, like how they plaster homes now. So that's it. So the body, so this is how they compare that to the body. It stated, let him quit this dwelling composed of the five elements where bones are the beams. So in our body, the bones are like the beams, which are held together by cord-like tendons. The tendons holds the bones together, the joints together, where the flesh and blood are the mortar. So where they use cow dung and mud, it's stated that the flesh and blood are the mortar, which is touched with the skin, and then now the bad part is, which is foul smelling, filled with urine, stool, and bad odor, infested by old age and sorrow, the seat of diseases, harassed by pain, gloomy with passions, and very perishable. So this is the description of this material body. And so one leaves it and thinks about the Lord and goes back to the spiritual world. He doesn't want to come back to the spiritual. So now let us contrast that Varnashram system. That Varnashram system is for a rigid Varnashram establishment or society. But today that is totally impossible for us to follow, because we are so fallen in this age and so deep rooted into the bodily cancer that just that little austerity is not possible. So what is stated by the author here is that instead of going into the forest, We seek the association of Vaishnavas. We live in the association of Vaishnavas. And also as we get older, then like after finished householder life, we can travel to different ashrams or travel preaching, especially like in the vanaprastha stage. The householder devotee and his wife, instead of renouncing their wife, and so they could travel and meet householders and preach to them, or meet the karmis and preach to them one on one. Do that, you know, a few times a day. That's a better engagement. Instead of wearing barks and straws and skins and stuff, we dress in nice Vaishnava clothing. Or for preaching sake, it's explained here that we dress properly. And sometimes if one goes to distribute books and travel, we can preach. We can even wear like short and pants and skirt and so, not necessarily sari and dhoti to go out and preach. See? Because the idea is to give out the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. That is the essence. See, to give out the knowledge of the scriptures, because that is fundamental in this age. It has been totally lost. And so, by doing that, then we're following the order of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. See, because he wants us to preach as much. Or devotees can preach on the internet. Preach to other devotees, preach on the phone, so many different ways. So rather than doing this rigid varnashram practice, everything is made suitable for us in Kali. And so that is easier for us to do. Some austerity must be there. It's not that we should give up austerity. See? Some austerity should definitely be there. And what it stated about austerities, yajna, dana, tapa, karma. Acts of sacrifice, charity, and penance are not to be given up. These purify great souls. So austerities should be there for the householders or the renounced householders. Like, the wife and husband can stay separate within the house or whatever. No longer be sleeping together and so. They follow the regulative principles more rigidly. And chant 16 rungs or even increase it if they want to. But these austerities are our austerities. Not sitting in the fire and the coal and so forth. And then it stated we should be satisfied in all circumstances and ready ourselves to leave this world by remembering the Lord. And a great example of one who did this. First, I will give an example of one who was following the Varnashram system and went into the forest. It's not the best of example, but it was an example. Dhritarashtra had left the comfort of kingdom eventually after being insulted by Bhima and so forth. He went out with Gandhari and he also went out with Kunti and Vidura. They all went out into the forest for meditation and so forth. And that's a Varnashram type of renouncing. And that's one example. But there is a nice example of Bhishma Dev, how at the time of death he remembered the Lord when he was leaving his body. And he gave a very wonderful prayer. He said, "Let me now invest my thinking, feeling, and willing which were for so long engaged in different subjects, unto the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. May his supremely beautiful body, which attracts everyone, be the object of my attention. At the moment of death, let my concentration be upon Lord Krishna. So this is the way a Vaishnava wants to focus, to think about Krishna at the time of death. See, instead, because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, jajati ante kalevaram, tam tam evaiti kuntiya sadatad bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. So the best way is to remember Krishna. And what Krishna says? Abhasya yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gamina. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, O Partha, is sure to reach me. Ananya cheta satatam. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain. So these are all the good ways a Vaishnava can leave this world. See, as gradually as he becomes older, he focuses on preaching some way or the other. And even if he can go out, I mean, just being at the temple and be a nice example to the younger devotees, a good advisor, see, a good coach, that's perfectly acceptable. And then we leave this material world in a nice and peaceful way. So this is the part that Prabhuda is explaining to Maharaj Nimi. But of course, for us, it's been made simpler by the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya and the Acharyas, especially Srila Prabhupada. And so I'll stop here if there's any comments or corrections or questions. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.